We don't have a forum right now. So we don't have the public spot.
Did anybody respond to separate work in the meeting?
Committee meeting for Botox and dermal fillers. At this time, did we want to do a roll call?
Yep.
Dr. Harmon?
Present.
Ms. Berg?
Here. Present.
Dr. Sabrinsky? Absent. Dr. LaCourte? Absent. Dr. Schoenrock?
Present. So we do have a quorum, so we'd like to move forward with this committee meeting. If anyone shows up late, that would be lovely. I'd like to have a call to the public. Is there any members of the public here that would like to address this committee? Doesn't look like it. So we move on to agenda item number 4 already. This is the scope of work. We're to review, discuss, and determine the scope and parameters of activity in furthering the board's direction in establishing the committee. As far as the scope of work is concerned, I was curious to see if we were going to have any members of the public or stakeholders that were going to be here to address us in this initial meeting, which it doesn't look like we do. So my vision for this committee is to figure out what we need to do as far as language and our antiquated laws, rules, and substantive policies to update and get us up to speed with the rest of the nation as far as Botox and dermal fillers with the administration by dentists and dental hygienists in the state of Arizona. Anyone have any other comments?
Just a quick comment. How many do you know, and how many other states permit this?
I have a list.
37, I believe.
37?
I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But I can tell you a couple things. Nevada allows dentists and dental hygienists to administer both of these things. So if that's the direction this committee is going to go, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, it's not like we have to. You know, it's all there. I've actually got even a lawsuit that went forward that was found in favor of the dentist in Nevada. I've got all of their verbiage. I've got, you know, everything here that we can use it as a template if we see fit. It's interesting to me, going through what we currently have on the books, It seems to me we could change a couple words and make this real simple and easy. But I don't know, you know, I defer to Seth on all of that stuff because Nevada actually spells it out as far as a derivative of botulism, toxin A, you know, and different dermal fillers, whereas we could be more general and just take one word out of one of our, like the unprofessional conduct clause. We take the word dental out and we just leave it as therapeutic. You know, I can get to the exact details if you want me to look it up, but it's really, it can be as simple as that, as taking one word out of it and then moving forward. But again, I don't know the process with what we have to do as far as legislature and, you know, getting these things passed through. So you guys know that system and function and, you know, everything we need to do as far as that goes. So I'm going to have to obviously defer to you guys with your expertise working with the people across the street with what we have to do with all that.
So ultimately, as a committee, it's advisory. So then you could make an advisory recommendation to the board. If it's November 1st, to try to get something on the books for the next session might be a bit of a challenge unless we hammered this out in one meeting, which would be today, because then the board would meet on, I think it's the 6th or 4th or something, 6th. So then Christine and I would then have the directive from the board to run across the street and meet with lawmakers. Have you talked to Dr. Cobb, Regina Cobb, or anything? Regina Cobb, she's a senator or representative?
What is she?
Representative.
She's a representative. Senator or representative, I don't remember which.
She's a house, yeah.
Yeah, so, and she's been there for a bit, but she's a dentist.
Right.
So she would be a good, I mean, especially if she were in favor of this, she'd be the perfect sponsor for a bill like this, and we could meet with her. We actually are trying to set that up. Lisa's in the works of, we've met with multiple people already. This has not been a topic yet because we haven't had the directive, but we haven't yet met with Dr. Cobb, so it might be, she might. And to be honest, whether we get to there in December or not, I think we'll probably bring this up with her just to kind of feel her out.
And I think it's really important when we do address the legislature, whether it's, you know, Dr. Cobb or whoever happens to be, that again, the intent of this is in the interest of public safety of Arizona residents. Because of the injectors and all these people that just aren't nearly as qualified as dentists with our extensive background and education to do this, that's the impetus behind it.
Yeah.
Does this have to be in the form of a bill?
Seriously,
for the stated that for us, the board, to change a few words in the statutes?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, it has to go through legislation to change what we currently have in legislation. It could be like Dr. Harmon was saying, a full rewrite, not of our entire code, but of at least some that section they may add it. You never know, but here's the issue is ultimately we would start the process, Christine and I, and we would help the process if we had to testify at like a committee hearing. It would likely go through the Health and Human Services Committee, but who knows, could end up in almost any committee because that's just the way legislation works. But ultimately, we probably need, other than a sponsor on the bill, probably a champion from this committee, or even perhaps the board, or both, to likely testify. And did Kevin? We met with Kevin Earl last week, and I think he would be okay with this. He didn't say that the association would be opposed. So that would be the biggest challenge. We'd want to make sure the association was in favor. What's that?
Both associations.
Yeah, the Hygiene and the Dental Association. Because if they're not, they'll put up pushback at the legislation process. And because they have lobbyists and they can hire lobbyists, they'll be there all the time. It's impossible for Christine and I to be there every day, but we could be there as quickly as possible if it was kind of a hearing or something like that. But it may make it harder for one of you guys to be present. So we would just need to know.
So if we're going to have someone testify, is that someone that needs to be on this committee? Can it be someone that we ask that has great knowledge?
Well, on the topic? Anybody can testify because it doesn't have to be. And hopefully they would be speaking on behalf of what, you know, like they say, hey, I met with the committee. And this is what the board is, or the board, because ultimately the board is the final adjudicator on everything. So you would advise the board makes the directive, we start the process.
Right.
It's a simple process to start. The hard part is getting through the legislative process with 90 members potentially.
The reason for my question is because I know someone who's very well versed in this, that is well spoken, has the background and the knowledge, but they don't live in the state. So they'd be willing to come and testify if that's necessary. But
is this person a physician, dentist, general or oral surgeon?
General.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And actually teaches administration of Botox and dermal fillers to other dentists.
Yeah, there's no prohibition on who speaks and who doesn't. So you just want more people speaking in favor than speaking against.
Yeah, and I'm curious. That's why I was curious to see if there was going to be anyone here against. Yeah, and when I talk to colleagues, you know, some of it floats the gamut, right? So some of them never thought of it, and then others, you know, just think it's a fabulous idea. I, you know, other than Dr. Taylor on the board, that's the only person that
I've ever... Oh, he doesn't want it?
Well, I just don't think he's educated in the topic enough, because he thought Botox was dangerous, you know, and when I talked to him about it a little bit, and then he's like, oh, really? And, you know, those kind of things. So it's, you know, if you're making up your mind before you have any information, you know, that's not a good decision to start with. So, but he was a little bit... iffy, I guess, at first, and I don't know where he is now. But.
Speaking of which, has everyone here seen Botox being administered? Who has not? Everybody has? Okay. Oh, you have not? Okay. I was going to say, if there was a preponderance of
people come lay down
that have not seen the procedure done, you know, I'd be willing to give a demonstration on whoever, because I did it in Ohio for over 15 years, and I'd be willing to give a demonstration. But if everybody's seen it, everybody's seen it. If they have not, then, you know, we're passing judgment on a procedure that nobody's familiar with. So, just throwing that out there.
With that, but you know, the administration of Botox and dermal fillers is very elementary compared to what we do intraorally.
Exactly,
it's just not challenging whatsoever. So, the skill set is certainly there by both hygienists and dentists, especially our education with gross anatomy, all those kind of things. But that's something that really needs to be addressed if we're going to move forward in that direction of what our requirements are going to be for the administration.
Yeah.
Just having a hygiene or dental license isn't going to do it. They're going to need continuing education specifically for these things.
I agree. Yeah, there should be some training parameters for people that
are certified by the product manufacturers themselves for the administration, and then take CE courses along the way if you're going to continue to do it. But they have nurses come out, show you exactly what, you know, for dilution factors, how to administrate, which product should be used where, everything.
Yep.
I'm sorry I'm late, just bringing you in on the conversation. Not only is it a simple procedure to do, it's reversible, and patients demand it.
Exactly. Exactly. The linchpin, I think, that we have for moving forward on all this is that we're dealing with procedures that are impermanent, okay? Even if something is, somebody gets too close to the subarachnoid nerve with Botox, you end up with a droopy eyelid. That's not permanent, right? That goes away. So, contrary to what some of our specialist friends are trying to tell you, is Botox and dermal fillers have an enviable safety record. And we should all realize that and move forward on that basis. You know, are we not as educated and good as the injectors and the estheticians? You know?
Well, in my residency, I was trained to do extraoral injections into the joint capsules themselves.
Yeah.
So, steroids.
And again, I don't think we have to go too far down that road.
No. Okay?
Because I don't think anybody's arguing that point. It's the issue that we have is the way that our rules and statutes are written.
I agree with
that. What we need to focus on, and if we can steer it that direction. I think we're all in agreement as far as committee members.
There just has to be some words removed and some phrases, which I believe were roadblocks put up by the previous administration.
Very well could be, but that's what we have to, that's exactly what we need to get to the degree, which moves us more into like agenda item 5. So moving down from the scope of work into current statutes, rules regarding application of Botox dermal fillers, and then, you know, agenda item 6 is going to be the substantive policy statement after that. So let's jump into that on agenda item 5. With the packet that we were sent, if we could turn to what's on page 10 at the bottom. Let me see if it's actually page 10 here. But it's the one that has number 16 at the top of the page. So
So it's technically page four of, if you're scrolling down from our packet today, page four. So in page four there. So you can go up.
There's a bookmark too. If you just
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, actually, we're gonna go one more page down to page five. It's number three there where it's highlighted for us. Prescribing, dispensing, and using drugs for other than accepted dental therapeutic purposes, other than a medically indicated supportive therapy in conjunction with managing a dental's patient needs. So with that, the way that that's worded, you know, we can add a, you know, we can put a comma and add, you know, more verbiage that says with the exception of the administration of botulism toxin A and or dermal fillers, we could strike words such as, you know, dental needs, just strike the word dental and put managing a patient's needs, because it's, you know, And is it medically indicated? Not necessarily, right? So we have to look at that word, you know, those kind of things. That's where we need to get with this language, right? So that's one. And then if we, the other one that is highlighted for us is two pages down, which is under the record keeping. For B, right? Page 7. A dentist shall record the patient's dental record, the name, dosage, form, strength of the drug or device dispensed, the quantity or volume dispensed, the date the drug or device is dispensed, and the dental therapeutic reasons for dispensing the drug or device. If we just strike the word dental in the last sentence there and just leave it as the therapeutic reasons for dispensing, then that seems very clear to me that there is no conflict there whatsoever. But again, Seth, you know, I'm going to have to rely on you. I mean, just because I interpret it that way doesn't mean that from Seth's perspective, that's what it's going to be.
What you're discussing right there is clearing up what would be considered unprofessional conduct.
Right.
I'm not sure that's going to get you where you need to be. If this is something that you want to incorporate as being allowable, putting it under what would be unprofessional conduct, you know, like I said, I think that may create more problems. It may be better to put it with added to what the description of is within the scope of practice. So that way there's no confusion. If you include that the scope of practice would include being able to do this, then it's clear that it's allowed, as opposed to, you know, if you just put it, kind of clear up the unprofessional conduct, I think it still leaves an area of confusion.
Right, I understand. My question is, do we need to tackle both? We have to not only change and make it allowable, but also change the verbiage in the unprofessional conduct.
So
just playing devil's advocate, right? So, you know, I mean, I know there's never been a complaint about Botox, but if there was, and then the attorney wants to go after that.
Well, an attorney's going to find something to go after, whatever you do.
I understand, but if we can make it as clear, you know, if we're going to go through this process, I'd like to make it as clear as we can.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
So that's my question, if we need to tackle both.
But if you go to that second paragraph where it says a dentist may inject pharmaceutical agents, botulism A, toxin A, dermal fillers, supportive therapy in conjunction with dental treatment plan consistent with the scope of practice.
We have to get rid of the in conjunction with the dental treatment plan.
Well, you're looking at the substantive policy statement. That is just advisory. It's not enforceable. So a substantive policy statement is basically given an explanation of the current statute and rules. So basically, this substantive policy statement is, this is currently the board's interpretation of their rules of what's allowed. But I think it sounds like there's still a question as to, among maybe some groups, as to whether it is allowable. So it's better to put it into, you know, the statute or rule to make it clear. clear so there is no confusion. I think as long as it's in the scope of practice, what that is saying is this is allowable for dentists. So I don't think that would be kind of contrary to the unprofessional conduct, because you're already saying we allow this.
Okay.
But if you're doing it and it's not clear that it's allowed, then it could run contrary and gotcha. Fall into unprofessional conduct.
Okay, well, then that seems like it's a hurdle we don't have to jump, and maybe an easier transition.
You may still have to change the statute or possibly rules.
Right. So can I read to you real quick just a short paragraph here? This is the Nevada, and again, I understand it's a different state with different laws and different rules and all that, but this is their notice of intent to act upon regulations, their LCB file number R04744-17. And it's number one here, their purpose and need of proposed regulation. The proposed regulations are necessary to establish board and dental examiners policy and to clarify existing board of dental examiners policy for the injection of neuromodulator that is derived from Clostridium botulism and injected of dermal or soft tissue fillers, and to amend NAC 631-175 with the addition of at least 2 hours of training for dentists who are registered to dispense controlled substances pursuant to NRS 453-231, relating specifically to the misuse and abuse of controlled substances, the prescribing of opioids or addiction during each period of licensure. So that's where, when I read that paragraph, I got scared, like, okay, you know, again, we need somebody that can speak legalese, you know, to put what seems like just common sense, hey, let's allow dentists to do this, into, we've got to get these specific statutes listed, and, right, is that clear with what I'm kind of saying there?
Yeah.
So, that's what I had questions for Seth for, really.
And that, you reading that, it almost sounds like that's a kind of their version of a substantive policy statement. It sounds like they're interpreting at least the front part of it.
Yeah, and that might have been their, you know, their first. You know, this may be, you know, kind of like this, a committee meeting or whatever, but they're just spelling out what their intent was.
Right.
Right? And then obviously that they move forward for both dentists and hygienists, not just dentists, which this just says dentists.
So the jurisdictions that do allow this, do we know how their statutes or rules are worded?
No.
Okay.
Is the answer.
I think it's pretty well all over the map.
Real easy to find out.
Everybody's different. All states are different.
How it's worded, you know, that's something we can look up, right?
Right.
But that was my question. That was kind of why I was saying it. I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel, right? We can go look at
exactly
those examples and see what it is. But I just don't, you know. Again, I think as a committee, I mean, just hearing the brief discussions we've had, I think we're all on the same page as far as what direction we want to move. We just need to figure out what that process is. So as far as answering Ryan's questions, how many meetings do we need, all those kind of things, I think as long as we can figure out, I mean, I don't think there's any argument up here that if we need to reach out to the Hygiene Association, the Dental Association, Dr. Cobb, those kind of people to make certain they're on board and understand our reasoning and what our direction is, then we can do that, and then pretty well wrapped up.
Yeah, so I think the board established the committee because they didn't want to spend the time on this discussion necessarily, and I think there's a chance that they probably thought the same way, that there might be more pushback against doing this, but I would say, and I don't know if Deb wants to say anything, but are you...
I'm happy to say something.
Are you against or for?
No,
or?
Not at all. Our interest as the Dental Hygienist Association is, Dr. Martin's already addressed it by including dental hygienists in this, because our argument is always that we have the same skills and abilities in these areas that dentists would, and we would expect to have the same training required and able to proceed as a delegated procedure to us.
So I think that, I mean, this might be a short-lived committee. You'll probably meet today. There may be a chance that we would meet again just through legislative session or something to update, or I don't know. We could probably all handle it through the board at this point. So today, I think what my recommendation would be is to come up with, you probably, like Seth was saying, you probably want to change 32.12.02, which is the scope of practice, which can be found on page 23 of your packet. And then,
is there a separate scope of practice for hygienists?
I don't think so. I think there's one scope of practice because it says practice of dentistry, and hygiene is the practice of dentistry.
Thank you.
But we could be super specific within the scope of practice that this also includes hygienists or something. So you would want to change that. The difficulty is, I think the only challenge, if I were trying to get this through legislation, is the current environment regarding regulation in general. So while this broadens the scope of practice, which they would like to see, adding in continuing education, another certificate or a registration, I think what you have to do is eliminate the necessity to add in somebody contacting this board to get a specific certificate or registration to dispense Botox or dermal fillers. And I don't think, is it derma or dermal?
Dermal. D-E-R-M-A-L.
I saw it both ways, so I put it, I saw it more dermal, but ultimately, I don't think it's wise to, and I'm just saying this as a precautionary, I don't think it's wise to add in a requirement that people that want hygienists or dentists alike that will inject Botox or dermal fillers to require an additional step through this agency. Like,
I agree.
It should just be added in the scope of practice.
It's the same kind of thing if you get laser certified, right? You go and you get your certification for the laser, you get a certificate that you are certified, but you don't have to go to the board and say, hey, is it okay if I use a laser?
Right.
Right? You don't have to pay an additional fee, you don't need a certificate from the board,
sure.
But you need one to cover your rear end, you know, to make sure that you have the education,
right,
the qualifications,
yeah,
to use the laser.
Yeah, and they can get that through another industry. Sorry, Dr.
Like Doctor was saying down there, you know, the folks from Allergan, you know, come out and they do, you know, they do all the training you ever would need.
But if you want to relate it to implants, you don't need a separate certificate,
right,
to place implants.
Right, exactly.
You typically are trained in a CE course or a manufacturer's CE course, and you do it. If you do something and something comes wrong and you're in front of the board, then you need to have something to back yourself up,
yeah,
if you're smart.
And any dentist that has any brains, if they want to do this stuff,
they're
going to find the training to get it,
right,
done,
correct,
efficiently and without incident.
And that's
so
just part of our normal.
Totally away from
that. That goes to hygienists too.
Then maybe we do want to look at the unprofessional conduct aspect as well, because if there's certain training or education that should be required prior to starting to do this work, if you don't want to add in a requirement that they provide documentation to the board to prove they have it before they can do it, have an unprofessional conduct provision where they're doing work without the proper training or education prior to it.
But isn't that a given, though? I mean, whether it's implants or laser or whatever.
When it comes to hygiene school,
it's not okay for us to do those things.
Well, when you're talking about regulation, if something goes bad and the board wants to take action, you can't go to a hearing and say, well, it's a given. It's like, well, where does it say this is required? So I think you would want to have something, you know, maybe not, you know, like Ryan said, not having that aspect where, okay, you show this and then we'll give you a specific certificate for it. Just make it clear in there, you know, if you're going to do this work, this is what, you know, should be required before you start doing it. And if you don't, then that would be unprofessional conduct.
Yeah.
So on the back end, if something goes wrong, they'd be required to show,
yeah,
that they were qualified to do it. If they're not, then, you know,
yeah,
there's a problem.
Yeah. That's
perfect.
Do you know, are they teaching this in the Arizona schools? Do you know? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I know you can get
trained in Arizona.
I think ultimately, I mean, if we change our statutes in this regard, I think that the schools will start probably teaching it, therefore then making it easier to get certified after they get out of school too.
At the time, I did have a list of dental schools that were teaching it.
Dental associations are, I've been to the AZDA Botox all-day seminar, hands-on training.
ADA.
I teach over at ASDO. I'm not aware of them teaching anything over there. So,
what school?
Arizona school.
ADA.
I think it would be wise to start teaching in the schools.
So I think, my personal opinion, I think the process is going to be simple. I think we need to work on the language of the scope of practice, so when we go across the street to introduce it, I think it's probably best to meet with Dr. Cobb. But one thing is, if she's against it, this is going to die quickly. So it might be, if we schedule that meeting, what it might be good for, like, Dr. Harmon or another dentist on the committee to come. It would be quick. It would probably be 30 minutes. That's generally the block of time they give you. So it would take time away from what you're doing, not a ton of time, but we are not experts in this at all. It may be a good idea. Maybe Sean or I can inject Christina right there to do a demonstration. I'm just kidding.
They're going to love it.
But I think it's probably best that somebody go with us to that meeting. You'll hear some other things that we'll bring up but to tackle this. So I think today, based on time, I think we should probably work on the scope of practice, which is 1302. Probably talk, like what Seth was talking about, make certain we cover the back end on the unprofessional conduct. And then that's the quickest part. We can stop there today, get a bill going. You could make your direction to the board for them to go to legislation to get this going. Then I would say we would probably meet again. We could cover the rules later, because you could do these simultaneously, but it's two different agencies. One through the legislative body, the other's through GRC, which is the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. Those are the ones that are in charge of the rule changes. And we could add this to the package. The problem is,
would it require a rule change?
It may. I don't know. Do you think?
Because the only rule that you had isolated here was the record keeping. So I guess it depends upon, would Botox or dermal fillers fall within the definition of drug or device? If it does, then you don't need to play with the rule.
Then let's leave it alone.
What about the verbiage for dental need or dental, like dental therapy?
Because it's almost
what therapy means. It depends on your definition of dental therapy, right? If
reading this, there's some gray areas there that you could probably get by on almost anything that's written in here.
Right.
Be doing it today.
Absolutely.
Not specific.
Totally agree 100%, but since we're going through this process, I'd like to make sure it's black and white.
Right.
And not gray.
Right.
And then when you're talking about changing the, or today discussing the 13, what was it? 1302 or whatever we're changing there. In that, we're going to be dictating what the continuing education requirements would be.
So that is what you would have to go through rule.
Right. So
we would require rule changes to add in.
So we should get that nailed down today too.
Okay. So the continuing education, you'd be is it only if you're going to do that work you're going to be required continuing education, or because that would be after the fact, not necessarily.
Or no, I guess not continuing education. Maybe I misspoke there, but the education that you would need prior to administering these things.
You're
so not after the fact.
But you're muddying the waters with that. Or he stated there shouldn't be anything. That's only on the back end. If something happens and you came before the board, you better have that certification in your back pocket.
Understood. I guess my question is to make certain we're clear with what the requirements are to be able to do it. Like, take a course that includes gross anatomy review, how many hours with hands-on, you know, these kind of things. Like, I don't want someone to watch a video or take a didactic course for 3 hours sitting in a lecture and then start administering Botox and dermal fillers. Yeah, I think there needs to be a hands-on component to it, a gross anatomy review, so that we're on top of where exactly those muscles, nerves, and blood vessels are. All those different kind of things I think are very, very important. But that line of distinction, maybe I'm using the wrong verbiage, but it's not continuing education after. So I don't want to add an additional component of continuing education where when we're doing our continuing education, we have to check mark. We got 3 hours of Botox and dermal fillers like we do for CPR and for all those kind of things. My concern was the work needed before you're actually administering, just like with an implant or just like with the laser, where okay. You have to go get so much.
I think one way to accomplish that would be first include in the scope of practice the ability to do Botox dermal fillers, and then possibly under the unprofessional conduct, maybe add an additional issue. It would be unprofessional conduct to perform Botox dermal fillers without having first done and list out whatever qualifications you feel are necessary.
Practice then.
Well, no, you have to add. You would add. Be clear in the scope of practice that scope of practice.
Allowed, but not
you're allowed to do this.
To do it.
Yeah. So the scope of practice is scope of practice would include the ability to do Botox dermal fillers, but then also add to the list of unprofessional conduct would be performing Botox dermal fillers without having first completed and just whatever the committee or the board feels would be proper training, you know, make it clear there what would be required.
But why should it have to be like that? Doctor had a good comment about implants. We don't do that with implants. Why not just put something in the unprofessional conduct? It's not, or the board recommends adequate training for this, or...
Well, then the question becomes, well, what's adequate training?
Well, that should be on the dentist, really.
Well,
because like I said, any dentist with any brains that wants to do this isn't just going to watch a YouTube video.
Right, but if the board later on is going to say, you didn't have adequate training, it's like, well, you never specified what that means. So I did what I thought was adequate. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tough to enforce that if it's not clear what is required for adequate training.
But you're not enforcing that anyway on implants.
Yeah, it's the same with implants or
anything
any other advancements.
Even sedation.
We don't do that with anything else.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What I want to know is who is responsible when you have a dental office who can bring in, quote, an injector or an esthetician to do your injections? Who verifies their background, their information, their certification working for the dentist? Who's responsible in the end?
It's his obligation to find out their background, to make sure they're certified, just like when they hire a hygienist. You have to make sure she's licensed appropriately. And
what if it's an esthetician? They don't really get licensed in injections.
Well, then maybe you don't hire them in your office.
Well, as far as I know, injectors and estheticians, a lot of them had on-the-job training. You know, they say with a physician present, the physician probably says, okay, do it this way, do it this way.
Estheticians don't inject, nurse practitioners do.
Okay.
Right,
and
but I'm saying there are institutions.
Let's circle this back. I'm going to interrupt, I'm sorry. But we're not, this committee meeting isn't to discuss the merits of estheticians or things like that. Let's bring back the focus and move the direction we need to move as far as changing this language and moving on from there.
Okay.
So we agreed that we need to change language in the scope of work, but not anywhere else. Is that correct?
Yeah, you would have to somehow add this in 1302 to include it as the scope of work, and the scope of work would then include dentists and hygienists. In fact,
1202.
What is it? 1202. I said 1302.
Yeah, 1202.
1202. And then, in fact, because we also licensed denturists, it would include denturists as well. So I don't know if that changes your opinion on the scope of practice, because the scope of practice is everybody that the board licenses. So dentist, dental hygienist, which is the majority, and then denturists is like 10 people total or something like that.
So what about these new positions that we're doing?
And then dental therapy, dental therapy is a mid-level profession. So based on what I've learned, it's dental therapists are, I wouldn't say equivalent to dentists, but higher scope of practice than a hygienist.
I'm just not familiar with what their education and everything is, so it's hard for me to have.
And there's very few states that we even have as a benchmark to look at. Minnesota, I think, is the only one that has dental therapists right now. Minnesota is the only one that has unlicensed people practicing everything.
Getting back to 1202, I think all you'd have to do when it says oral cavity and associated tissues, you just add the phrase of the oral maxillofacial complex, which is by definition the entire face. And could even be extended theoretically to the neck and shoulder area.
Yeah, if you're doing injections for headaches, you're
back in Ohio,
paralysis, you're
injecting a certain clitomastoid, all sorts of stuff. But that's all you have to say there. That's an easy one.
Seth just pointed out you may want to look at 1281 as well. And 1281 is dental hygienist.
Do you have a page number on that?
Page 55. Which then maybe we need to do. Where's dental therapy?
Yay for me.
Well, at 11 there, it says all functions authorized and deemed appropriate for dental. Oh, that dental sales system.
So you think we need to add one there, have a number 14?
Under 1281?
Mm-hmm. Under
probably.
A, I guess under B, we'd add a B, 13 or 14.
Or include it in any of the other.
Comment. Deb has a comment.
When you're talking about scope of practice, maybe give us some guidance on this as well, but it's my understanding, or at least it is with dental hygiene scope of practice, that requires a doesn't absolutely require it, but legislators appreciate a sunrise report, which is past the time to submit a sunrise report. They were due today if you wanted a change in scope of practice. It should have been submitted today so that the legislators can take a look at it in advance before they consider changes in scope. I know that's absolutely true with dental hygienists, and we did it with dental therapy. That's how we started the process with dental therapy. It's with dental assisting. If you're going to change the wording in the statute that refers to the scope of practice of dentistry, I don't know if that also requires a sunrise. And again, there's always an out.
I don't
know. Whether you don't, the sunrise process isn't mandatory, but legislators don't appreciate getting a bill with scope of practice changes if they haven't seen a sunrise report on it first.
No, it's good information.
We deal with that all the time as hygienists.
Gotcha.
We don't toy with our scope of practice unless we've done a sunrise report.
And how does that process work?
Now it's simpler, thank goodness, but it is a report that answers maybe a series of 6 to 8 questions relevant to why is it needed, what are the implications? Is it going to cost more to do this? What kind of the general impact of the change, as well as the safety and education training? Is it necessary? Is it not necessary? All of that kind of stuff. Why is this new thing necessary? And then that's submitted to a joint committee. It's usually a combination of the House and Health, the Senate and the House Health Committees. And you can request a hearing, or the committee chair of that group can request a hearing. But now it's more likely that if it's not a big deal or not a big hot controversial thing like dental therapy was, they wouldn't hold a hearing, and the chair just kind of takes it at under advisement and says, thank you very much. So, but it is a report that takes a little time to write. And like I said, the deadline of paper.
It is today.
So if we go through that process, then we're pushed back a year.
And I think that's where getting some input from your legislators is going to be important. How big a deal to this is it? How big of a deal is this going to be to them?
Thank you for that.
And I think I think for adding in dental therapy, it makes sense that there was a scope of practice that was written, but.
We did it with anything. Like, we made changes a couple of years ago to our scope.
Yeah, that's kind of a conservative approach. I mean, it's probably well thought, and it's a conservative approach. I wouldn't say just changing the statute is a super liberal approach, but I think that a change is easier to get through without going through that lengthy process, and it used to be even harder. I think that, and the best way to know is just to really have the conversation with Dr. Cobb and see what her thoughts are, because I think this current administration would like the thought of expanding the practice, especially if other states are doing it, to prevent people in Arizona or professional dentists and hygienists from doing what they could do almost in, we'll say, 95% of the country, then that's what they would like to see. They just wouldn't like to see an additional regulatory matter to accomplish the task of allowing them to do more in their practice.
Agreed.
So I think we're too late to do the scope of, or to do the summit. So we should probably focus on really doing, and we'll include this as part of our conversation with Dr. Cobb, and then, I don't know, does anybody want to volunteer to meet with her?
I'll
go with us. So then, we could have more than one. We can't have all five, or we can't even have three, because we would have a committee issue, like a meeting. So, but if two wanted to go, that would be appropriate. But
when would this be?
We don't have it scheduled yet. She's actually in Portugal, I think, on a hiking expedition.
Oh, okay.
So she'll be, when she gets back, I'm certain we'll hear from her, because she's reached out to me a couple times. I've run into her just to have a meet and greet. Anyway, so this will just be part of that conversation.
I'd go if I have time. My workload's pretty
okay.
Heavy.
So, go ahead.
That requirement may or may not apply to the board, because that requirement applies to health professional groups. Looking at it, I'm not sure that the board falls under the definition of health professional groups. It could just be associations or others that want to increase the scope, have to go through those steps. So it may not apply to the board, and that may be something to follow up to see if that's required. So the board may be able to do it without having that report and additional steps.
So I don't expect that. It's up to you. How do you want to proceed today? Then do you want to try to hammer this out and get something to recommend to the board for December?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'd be great. Do we need to hammer out specific language at this point?
Helpful. It's not necessary, but it's helpful only because the legislative body has what we call Leg Council. They'll ultimately draft language based on the sponsor's request. And the sponsor, I think you would want Dr. Cobb, because she is a dentist. And so there is a process through drafting that Leg Council will reach out to us meeting as a group, and we could pass it up. Well, maybe we could meet at that time, but now's the time to get bills dropped, because the closer you get to January, they don't like anything coming from state agencies that didn't come before November 1st, because as state agencies, you should know the process. But that, I don't think that this is a thing that, I don't think that that would apprehend us from going forward. So I think we could probably still do it. And it's not a huge change. So I don't, I mean, it would be helpful to have something at least ready to go. And if you want to be, if the committee just wants to basically direct Dr. Harmon to come up with something, you could even look off of Nevada. And then the board would basically, I think that the committee was appointed to give advice to the board, and therefore I think the board would probably just trust, with maybe the exception of Dr. Taylor, as you mentioned.
No, and I don't think, I'm not saying he's not on the board, I'm just saying he just didn't have any information.
Okay.
He watched a couple of commercials.
Okay.
You know, where they had the lawyer saying if you had
this, oh, right, and
whatever, watched a Kardashian show where they had big lips, and you know, that, that's where all that came from.
Okay.
So, you know.
So then they would probably likely go forward, and then we could just take your language and run with that. Ledge Council would get involved for sure to make certain. You could probably get this through potentially without changing the rule, depending on the requirements that you set forth in the statute. So one, it requires some sort of certificate from certifying organization, right? I don't even know what who certifies people in Botox and dermal fillers. And then, but to maintain that certificate, don't you have to do continuing education to maintain the certificate, or no?
It's just like,
I don't think so. It's just like, laser implants. You do laser training and you're done.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you don't need continuing education to place them. But it behooves you to do
right.
So.
Sure, and that's why we have continuing education.
That's why
requirements, right?
Got to do it. It's your responsibility. So, yeah.
And this line that's highlighted under 32.1201, definition of unprofessional conduct, number 3, prescribing, dispensing, and using drugs for other than acceptable dental therapeutic purposes or for other than medically indicated supportive therapy in connection with dental needs. As a dentist, we're already obligated to look extraorally at our patients. Okay? And we're already treating extraoral type of situations, whether it be external TMD issues, visible cancers and referring them, angular keloidis, which is perioral area. I don't see why not just a limited, maybe a little more language in some of these paragraphs would suffice opening the door to do this, rather than having an entire statute change and then putting certification and all this other stuff.
I just heard you guys start delineating down to like continuing education, and if you're going to do that, it will require some.
I don't think we
extra.
We
don't. I don't. I was just asking questions.
Okay.
Right. So. I didn't, you know, I didn't know the process, but the same deal with, you know, like you said, the implants, the laser, whatever happens to be, there isn't anything specific. You just know, hey, if you're going to do the laser, you've got to go do your laser certification, right, which is offered by the Dental Association or a number of other different, you know, sources of that education. So I'm in full agreement there. When it came to this specific language here in the unprofessional conduct area, it was our last assistant AG that the board had, that this is where she really said this is why you can't, as a dentist, can't do it. So that's why I think the focus is on this, is that she was saying specifically, because it says specifically you're doing it, it is unprofessional conduct because it's not in the patient's dental needs if you're doing Botox or fillers for cosmetic purposes.
That's why I think that line, that number 3, if you change that, that could open the door and not have a big issue before the board, right?
Right.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed. And what's the process in that? Do you have to go through legislation?
Yeah, you do.
You do, yeah.
Yeah. So let's just change three. And
the substantive policy, right? I know that's next agenda item, but
yeah.
We don't even need to go there with that, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Just cut the word dental on it.
So how do you want, is that why you take out the word?
I mean, you know.
Prescribing, dispensing, or using drugs for other than accepted dental
therapeutic purposes.
Yeah, leave the word dental.
Yep. For accepted therapeutic purposes,
right.
Or medically indicated supportive therapy in conjunction with managing a patient's needs. Mm-hmm.
Just remove dental twice.
Yeah.
I think you cover it at that point.
Well, the previous administration disagreed with me when I said that cosmetic treatment is therapy. Okay. Right. Just like psychiatric treatment is therapy.
Sorry. Can you make that statement one more time? The one that you just read right now?
Yeah, so you want me to read it without those two words or read the whole thing with it?
In fact, if that's the way you guys agree, maybe make it a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we change
1201.01. 3.
There's no letter before that. 1201.013 to read prescribing, dispensing, or using drugs other than accepted dental therapeutic purpose. I'm sorry, scratch that. Prescribing, dispensing, or using drugs for other than accepted therapeutic purposes or for other than medically indicated supportive therapy in conjunction with managing a patient's needs.
Very good.
I approve.
Do you have any comment?
I think that's a bridge too far, because that means you could prescribe antibiotics for earaches. You could basically do anything that has a therapeutic value. I mean, it's encroaching on medical entities. That, you know, your staff member has a kid, has an earache, needs antibiotics.
Right.
Do a proper examination and diagnose outer ear inner infection and you give them antibiotics. I don't see a problem with that personally.
What if you make a referral in that line back to the scope of practice definition? Because that really includes all those things already in there. And it talks about the head and the face and the neck and the lips and the cheeks. Everything's already in there.
Right.
So if you say outside of dental, don't say that. Just say outside of the scope of practice. And then you could even say 32.1202. And then it brings us back to there, which has it already defined. And then that would eliminate that issue.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So you could say in conjunction with?
In conjunction with the scope of practice. Yeah, 32.1202.
Yeah.
32.1202,
yeah.
Because okay. By that paragraph there, it's already allowing for deformity, deficiency. Deficiency would be fillers. Deformity could be Botox. You could use those routes in here. It covers gums, lips, cheeks, jaws, oral cavity, and associated tissues. I mean, you're already in the head and neck and face in there.
That's almost
a great line. Did we add orofacial complex to that?
That's in the scope of practice.
Yeah,
that's already there. So if we reference that.
Okay. Is that right?
Well, it should be. That's all. I mean, that's our scope of practice, basically, the neck up, right? So,
yeah.
So then we don't need to change the definition of the scope of practice as it reads now?
No, I think we do.
Okay.
But when we're talking about this specific thing in the unprofessional conduct.
Okay.
We want to make sure that we're, like, kind of what we talked about earlier is hitting both of them,
yep.
Right? So then we're making okay. sure we're clear, black and white. So then I'd like to make a motion that we change 32.1201.01 to read prescribing, dispensing, or using drugs for other than accepted dental therapeutic purposes or for other than medically indicated supportive therapy in conjunction with managing a patient's dental needs in conjunction with the scope of practice as referenced in 32-1202. Okay.
So we are not eliminating the two words dental?
That way we can leave the two words dental and we're referencing back to,
and go back to practice, the scope of practice,
which we're covering right. that it's okay to do it in the scope of practice.
All right. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's perfect. I like that.
Dad?
Uh-oh. If I just have another two, just
no, it's okay. It's great.
We think about this because taking your point where therapeutic, the definition of therapeutic has been an issue, could you add the word cosmetic in here, therapeutic and cosmetic?
No, because what I think you're doing then is separating the two.
Yeah.
When you say therapeutic, okay, cosmetics should be in that. What are you doing with cosmetics? You're increasing somebody's self-esteem, just like psychiatry, which is therapeutic in and of
just like veneers.
If you separate the two, then you've got an issue. Okay, what's yeah. cosmetic? What's therapeutic?
And inside the store already has a cosmetic information in there.
Right. So
bring up the word cosmetic.
Right, and we're doing cosmetic work already. We're putting in tooth color fillings. We're doing veneers. Yeah. We're doing, you know, so
all like removing stains, all that.
Okay. Anyone second?
Anyone?
Thank you, Dr. Sivertsky.
All in favor? Or do we need a roll call?
You don't need a roll call.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion passes. Okay, so then can we go to the scope of practice?
Page 23.
Where was that again? It's on page 23. 1281. And then dental therapy you'd have to do, which is 12, so that's just 76.03. So new motion?
Yeah, just
yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we add of the oral facial complex after associated tissues. That brings the forehead and the rest of the face in play. When you're just saying teeth, alveolar process, gums, lips, cheeks, jaws, oral cavity, you know, you're stopping about here.
Okay, Doc, so we backed up a second, though.
Yeah, sure.
And we're back to what we just had the motion on in the past. We're going to amend that real quick.
Oh,
okay, and then we're going to come back to that.
Okay,
practice.
That's
okay.
Fine.
So back to, sorry, flip my page. to, I would like to make a amend the motion for 32.1201.01. Do should I read the whole thing again, or just add the change?
Just add the change.
To also incorporate 12-81 and 12-76.03. Have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion passes. Thank you. And then Dr. Schoenrock, if we want to jump back to 32.1202, the scope of practice.
Right.
Great. So you wanted to add where at the end of the sentence? Or
yeah, after associated tissues.
After associated tissues.
Oral cavity and associated tissues of the orofacial complex. And that brings the whole entire face into play.
Any discussion on that? Any concerns?
Maybe for completeness, instead of limiting it that way, since we are typically considered specialists of the neck and above, why wouldn't you just say of the head and neck?
Like I said earlier, I think you can bring the neck into that by association. Like I say, you can even bring the upper.
I think we have a problem if we say head and neck, because then does that mean we can jump into the brain? Right? So if it's associated tissues, you know, these are associated tissues.
Okay.
Right?
Just as long as the
inner ear isn't, right?
So yeah.
No, but occipital muscles are.
Absolutely. Those are associated. Right?
Okay.
They're all tied together. There's trigger points, right?
Right.
It's going to, you know, give you that migraine that we're dealing with bruxism and everything
right.
elsewhere,
right.
too, right?
So if that's considered part of that, then I would agree with it.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to have anybody doing brain transplants.
No,
but we can't, I don't, again, like Deb's point, you know what I mean, it's, we can't, you know, be too broad either, right?
Well, what I've just said, I think sharpens that.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board with you.
Yeah,
I just
gotcha.
Am concerned if we go too far.
Okay.
Right? So if we just say head and neck, I think that's going to open up too much. I mean, I agree with it. I think it'd be great.
Well, you could say that, you know, just associated tissues of the head and neck, but oral facial complex sounds so much more professional. No, I'm kidding. One or the other.
Oral facial complex and associated tissues.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think that
pretty much covers it, I guess. Yeah, I agree with that.
Sounds good. Do you have any concerns there?
No, I think that sounds good.
Okay, Doc, you want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we amend 32.1202 to read, for the purposes of this chapter, the practice of dentistry is the diagnosis, surgical or non-surgical treatment and performance of related adjunctive procedures for any disease, pain, deformity, deficiency, injury, or physical condition of the human tooth or teeth, alveolar process, gums, lips, teeth, jaws, oral cavities, and associated tissues of the orofacial complex, including the removal of stains, discolorations, and concretions.
I'd like to second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. So my next question is, where are we going to specifically state if that's not the appropriate place to state that, you know, it's okay for dentists, dental hygienists, and our mid-level practitioners to administer this. Are we going to specifically,
yeah.
Where do we put that specifically?
So
it's black and white that it's okay to move forward with that.
You might just want to get rid of the substantial statement that prohibits it.
Well, that's just a matter of direction. That's not binding at all. It's, mm-hmm. We need to have.
Okay. I think you'll have to add something into 1281
may have to define all official contacts.
What page is that?
Where's 1281?
Yes.
I could argue that you don't have to add it in 1281. The more you get longer in this thing, the more challenging it can sometimes be. And we do have in our statute, find it here. The board shall, by rule, prescribe it's C. It's 1281C. By rule, prescribe the circumstances under which a licensed Delphi-Dennis may. And if you go to number C3, perform other procedures not specifically authorized by this section. And then you go to rule, and it basically says that the dental hygienist has had the appropriate training, that the dentist has authorized it, and, you know, on and on and on. So it's very broad, it's very blanket, and if it's included in the scope of practice for dentistry, then a dentist could delegate that to a dental hygienist meeting those conditions as established in the rule.
Legal team, do you agree?
Yeah. I'm not an attorney, but I would say.
But I stayed.
It tries to avoid laundry listing every single thing that ever gets.
I love that.
You know, on and on and on. You could go back to the legislature every other year.
Right.
To expand it.
With new technology and everything else,
exactly.
Too, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, one of the reasons that the committee was formed was so that we could get, you know, very clear direction, which was vague at best, you know, and with, you know, a lot of dentists are doing Botox and dermal fillers because it just seems like it's the way you, if you read it and the way you interpret it, it's fine to do it. But there's another set of attorneys that thinks, oh no, we got you, right? So that's why they wanted us to take the time to really digest this and go through this instead of just trying to pass it. So
I think those two motions that we've put together today, doesn't that pretty much cover what needs to be changed?
That's my question for Seth.
Well, I think if the purpose is to make things clear, if you really want to make things clear, you put in the scope of practice, you can do Botox and dermal fillers. It doesn't get clearer than that.
Right.
You're throwing in oral facial complex, now you're going to have to throw in a definition, add in a definition of that to make sure it's clear what that means. And if it's still open to interpretation as to whether or not it includes Botox and dermal fillers, then you really haven't accomplished anything because if you're going to make it clear. You know, if you want to dance around it without making it.
But in the scope of practice, there aren't any other specific things listed.
Exactly. There's nothing that says you can do implants. You can do crowns, you can do bridges, you can do this.
But if the whole purpose of having this committee is because it's not clear and you want to make it clear, make
it
clear.
Well, it wasn't clear to our last assistant AG, right? So that really was kind of the impetus of doing this. You know, she really thought there was a hang-up there, and that's why we wanted to get rid of that hang-up. Is the language that we've proposed today enough to get us past that hurdle?
To me, looking at it, it doesn't make it clear to me that would be allowed. You know, you're still relying on your substantive policy statement, but again, that's not enforceable. You're stuck with the language in the statute and rules, and at least in my view, you're still dancing around it. You're not saying, yes, we think this is appropriate.
Why don't you change 1202 after the word including the removal of stains, discolorations, do a comma there, administering botulinum, whatever you might say, Botox A, and dermal.
Well, I wouldn't say specifically Botox. So you'd have to put botulinum toxin.
Right.
Because there's Dysport and there's other ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's different manufacturers.
You could say
just botulinum toxin.
That word, toxin.
Derivatives of.
And just say botulinum toxin, dermal fillers, and, I don't know, the last word, concretions. Concretions. Or I should bone up on some of these.
Would that cover us then?
definitely clear.
Would that cover what?
Yeah, I think it's a lot clearer that way.
Oh, I see.
Well, then add it if it makes it clear.
Yeah. So somebody do that motion.
So 32.12.02 scope of practice. We have already amended previously, and I would just go to the end of the paragraph where we have discolorations and concretions, comma, to administer botulism toxin A and dermal fillers. Period. Second.
Oh yeah, I'll second. Just for clarification, that is spelled B-O-T-U-L-I-N-U-M, botulinum.
So I have a question before we, some discussion before we move on that. It's just as far as the verbiage in Nevada, and I don't, again, we can do whatever we want to do, but they used for the injection of neuromodulator that is derived from Clostridium botulinum and injected an injection of dermal or soft tissue fillers. I think I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but that really distinguishes that it's a neuromodulator that we're going to be relaxing these muscles. Or do we want to get that specific?
I don't think you want to get that, especially with the fillers, because you have threaded fillers, which are technically solids.
Right. Then I'd like to second the motion. Any other discussion?
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you, to Seth's point, do you want to weave in of the oral facial complex or strike that from?
Yes.
We'd leave it.
We already left that.
Do we need to define it then?
Possibly.
Wedge counsel will let you know.
Okay.
Did we talk about policy statement 13?
Okay.
That came out.
So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes. Another question about.
But did we discuss that policy statement 15 that came out a few years ago?
Substantive policy?
Yes.
No, that's the next agenda.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. But I think we're kind of there at this point.
Right.
Have we included, I guess now we've included hygienists because they're under the scope, or they're under the direction of the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Is dental therapy completely under? Because they can do stuff outside of. The direction.
I think they have the laundry list, the dental therapists, of what they can do and can't do. If I remember right, when their policy was written. Simple extractions, primary extractions, was it a little list of things they could do and couldn't do? Yeah. And if you had prior qualifications, I think you already had to be a hygienist, and then you could do additional training on top of that.
Okay.
To go through it, so.
Brian, you still working on that?
I'm just looking right now.
Sure.
It looks like it's 12:06:30. And maybe we're kind of in the same position as the hygienist because of B. 1276.03 says either under the direct supervision of a dentist or pursuant to a written collaborative practice agreement. So if it was under the direct supervision of the dentist has to qualify under the new 1202. We may not have to meet anything. Unless you want to do, like what Dr. LaCourte was saying, you would have to add it under E. I don't even know where this ends, 27. Or add it in rule, which makes it even more complex. Which the rules haven't even been written on dental therapy. That's what we've been working on.
That's what you've been working on.
That's it.
So, we good then?
Do you think it'd be... as long as you don't... So it's either under the direct supervision of a dentist, which is 1276.03E. I lost it. Or you have to add it to the list, which then includes a written collaborative practice agreement. So like if somebody's working with most of, and Deb can correct me if I'm wrong, most of dental therapy was to kind of hit some of these rural areas that don't have a dentist or doesn't have a dentist willing to travel. And so dental therapists would be in these locations, and so they would have a written collaborative practice agreement with the dentist. And then they could perform these things. It looks like 27 tasks. And number 27 looks to be broad as it relates to rule, which hasn't yet been written. So if you think a dental therapist needs to have direct supervision, the dentist would have to be present for a dental therapist to administer botulinum or dermal fillers. If you think that a dentist doesn't have to have, if the dental therapist doesn't have to have direct supervision, then you can add it as another line through these 27 things that they've listed.
Question on that though, part of the qualifications for a dental therapist is to be a hygienist prior to that. So if it's already addressed in the Hygiene Act, would even then be necessary to readdress it in the Dental Therapist Act, because then as a hygienist they would be practicing.
Well, so then you get into the position of, so today I'm acting as a hygienist, I'm wearing that hat, and what if that license is no longer active? So now they're doing something as a dental, so say they let the dental hygiene license lapse, and now they're only practicing as a dental therapist, you can't now say that with an expired license, I was already able to do this as a hygienist. I'm a dental therapist, therefore I should automatically qualify to do it. It's not written in the, and there's specific statutes directly related to dental therapy, and therefore, if it's not under B, which it could be, but it's to the committee's pleasure, direct supervision or not, then you're eliminating them the ability to do something even though they've ratcheted up their profession to a dental therapist.
I have a question. We made that change to the definition. Did we say oral facial complex?
Yes.
That's not going to work. I just happened to look it up, and the oral facial complex, this is the definition of it. Oral facial complex is biologically an organ system of its own and working in an integrated manner to provide the individual with the function of mastication, swallowing, breathing, speech, and not forgetting the special organs of smell, taste, and vision. And if you look at this picture, basically it's from here. Yeah. Now, if you said oral maxillofacial complex, that gives you the same definition as what an oral maxillofacial surgeon works on, which can be eyes and ears and other facial processes.
Where's the definition coming from?
Pardon?
What website is it coming from?
But if you look at the verbiage of that statement, it says associated tissues of, okay?
meaning now we've got to really spread it.
Well, I don't want us to put something in there that's somebody's going to argue someday.
Well, like I say, anybody can argue.
This is dental U.S. Okay. And then there's a manual. International Association of Oral Facial Myology. This is
that. Which doesn't cover what we need.
So if there's an actual definition of that, then we need to maybe not or expand on that definition.
Well, there's currently not a definition of that in the board statute or rules, so the board can define it however they want for their purposes. So you'd have to add a definition to that.
If we just expanded it to oral maxillofacial instead of just oral facial,
right? I think if we went to oral maxillofacial, that pretty much covers any area that we're going to work on, because that covers anything that an oral surgeon is going to work on or a prosthodontist is going to work on.
So through the main.
Okay, maxillofacial.
Yeah. Can we change that to oral and maxillofacial
motion
complex?
To make a motion to amend.
Motion to amend. What was that rule?
Give 32, 12, 101.
Yeah. Amend rule 32.12.01-0.01.
I think it's 12.02.
Oh,
wait. Oh,
yeah, you're right. 12.02?
Yeah, it's 12.02.
Page 23.
Yeah, 12.02.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find it on a computer, so.
Page
motion was to include oral facial complex, and we're going to amend that to include oral and maxillofacial complex. Sound good?
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes.
Does that handle our definition-wise now for the board? Make it more clear, per se?
Well, is what you change it to, is that in?
We changed from oral facial to oral and maxillofacial, which there's got to be a definition of oral and maxillofacial in the board.
Yeah, it's more clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not defined in statute rule.
We don't have a statute or rule on oral, but we didn't before today either. So.
Well, I think that's a pretty broad coverage there. I think that
if you needed it, you could probably pull it from an LMS.
Yeah.
You could probably pull it from an oral maxillofacial surgery definition from their board or something, what would cover it, where they operate.
Ledge Council facility.
Yeah, I'm just going to have it. I'll let Ledge Council let us know if we need another definition. And if so, then we'll just write it in.
Okay.
That's sometimes the problem with going before legislation. You kind of open up everything, and so they
and there's no guarantee the language you give them is the language that comes out.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. But
that's really ask if that's a common term used in your profession, and if it is, then.
Yeah.
Unless you want it to mean something different than it's generally understood by your profession.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for that. So where were we on that then?
So I guess we're at whether or not what you
dental
believe
from this.
Yeah. 76.03 or
direct and direct.
I think they're covered in the same. It's like a hygienist. They're directed by the dentist whose license it's under, and that's where it gets covered.
So the problem will be with those agreements that the dental therapist makes with the dentist won't be in the office, and the dental therapist will make a decision.
Well, did they already administer anesthesia without a dentist present?
No.
Oh, they don't?
But there's no, we don't, there's no school in Arizona that can teach us dental therapy yet.
And if that's something that dental therapists want to change in the future, they can address that, right?
Yeah.
If we put it in as direct and they want to go indirect, they could come to the board and look for a rule change or...
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately, like, they would, if there was a question, then the therapist could ask the dentist, and the dentist gives the supervision on them. And they could do it based on 1206.103B.
So do we need a motion or do we need anything there? No. We're just good to go?
Yep, you're good to go.
Did we address anything with R411-1404, the record keeping?
Seth was saying you don't probably need to touch that.
We're totally okay with that. Okay. Just wanted to double check. So that checks all my boxes as far as agenda item 5, unless there's anything else that anyone... thought of or concerns. So then we'll move to agenda item 6, a substantive policy statement. My question is, do we need to touch this thing?
I don't think so. Because if we address the 1202 already and correct it in there, then we'll automatically revert back to that.
It could be something to
reaffirm. Revisit. We just once redefined.
So Seth was saying, if this passes through legislation, then the board itself could probably address the substantive policy and resend it, or clarify more through substantive policy.
Is that even necessary?
No, probably not. It'll expire at some point, and I don't. Do you know how long substantive policies stay? I don't. But they don't last forever. And they're really, if you tried to use one to argue a case in court, there's no real legal grounds to it.
Yeah, it's not enforceable.
So.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So that's that. Agenda item 7, discussion of possible action items for future meeting agendas. My understanding is we're pretty much wrapped up until we hear from you.
Yeah.
Right? And then if we need another committee meeting, we will schedule as necessary.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that has any items that would be on a possible future agenda that haven't been addressed today?
Well, this may not be quite on topic, but if this is all approved, is it retroactive? In other words, it isn't. Okay. Well, you know, I hate to be Robin Hood here, but there was a general dentist some years ago, and this is given the fact that oral surgeons have been doing Botox right along in technical violation of the board's statutes. Okay, I know that to be true, and I can prove it. Okay. But the previous administration saw fit to take a general dentist up in front of the board and censure him for his use of Botox, which he had
That's
training.
That's outside the scope of this committee.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I would wonder what the procedures would be.
Again, that's outside the scope of the committee.
Okay. Just thought I'd mention it.
Okay, so there's nothing else. Next committee meeting and dates. Again, we will wait to hear direction if we need such dates.
Since we're on that topic, though, is there days of the week that work better?
Friday, for sure.
Yeah.
Friday?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. For sure.
So we'll Miriam, if we do it, you'll hear from Miriam on just possible days, Fridays, with times probably Fridays. Different couples. Okay, cool. That's it.
Okay, that being said, at 10:50 a.m., I would like to adjourn this committee meeting. Thank you all for your time and efforts. Oh, sorry. Second. Motion to dismiss.
Who was the second? Okay. All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Thanks, y'all. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Happy day after Halloween, everybody. Did you get enough candy? Russian flossing.
That's what we're coming on. It's coming home from work.
Russian flossing's overrated.
Bye.